sports coverage probably isn't us. But we're live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Beautiful day in the neighborhood. I know we all talk about the weather and the birds in the street. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day in the Driftless.
Always is.
Yeah, man. And it's sports week.
Sports.
Always is. Yeah. Yes, sports.
Sports.
No. There's a yes.
Sports.
There it is. That's all the enthusiasm. So I like it.
There you go. Sports.
Hey. Well, I did watch a lot of sports.
Listened
to a lot of sports this week.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I watch cable. I got radio. You know, we had the combine.
Yep.
We were talking last Friday. The combine had just started. They were at the beginning of, I think they were doing offensive line. Big guys. Guys were running around on Friday after we left. I was catching part of that on the NFL Network later in the day.
Okay.
That was fun to watch. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Seeing guys that are plus 300 pounds, 6'7", running 5-second 40s.
Yeah. And for we said this last week, though. If anybody is curious how that works, if anybody wants to go outside and measure off a 40 yards, running that in 5 seconds, no matter how big you are, is really hard to do.
Yeah.
And I watched offensive linemen at 6'6" and 350 pounds run at 5 seconds. It's something to watch.
Yeah.
It really, really is. I do understand for people who love livestock and animals why they watch cattle auctions on TV. There's a channel for it. I know, man. But I watch it and I just like, ooh, that's the guy I want on my team. And along with that comes the draft board and all the movement on that. And your favorite team is gonna get probably the wrong guy, but they're gonna end up. Well, that's how it works. And my team will also probably get at least one of those picks wrong because that's what the Packers do.
Right.
They got lots of picks. They're gonna miss on them. The NFL offseason kind of started in full since we last kicked off because they've been cutting players left and right.
Buffalo cut like 6 players yesterday.
Yeah, Buffalo, who was a playoff team last year, they cut, I think it was 2 guys out of their secondary who had been all pros. They cut their starting center, who was also an all pro at some point. They tried to save themselves $25 million in the cap. Turns out that it wasn't enough. They still have to come up with another $15 million, but it was a start. And that's every team that basically, if you've signed a quarterback to a big extension, as the Buffalo has, and you've got a wide receiver or you got 2 offensive players making big time money, as Buffalo does, and some defense, you're up against the cap every single year. You're going to see every team is going to be cutting some starters. If your team needs, say, a starting safety, because their whole secondary was real, real bad last year, there's some starting safeties out there. There's going to be a starting cornerback or two. Heck, if your team needs a running back, if your team was good except for an injured quarterback and not having a running game all year and they wear purple uniforms, you should be looking at the running backs that are getting cut left and right. And find yourselves a Saquon Barkley, find yourselves a last...
The one that, I mean, with Buffalo, though, kind of circle back to that.
Sure.
I mean, Jordan Poyer is one of their leaders on that team. I mean, he's a veteran, but he's still really good. It's just like, okay, what are you going to do with replace him? I mean, I've seen it with my Vikings.
Sure.
Where they've cut Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
I really didn't want them... I didn't like that move. He obviously didn't fall off much because he was the number one receiver for Carolina.
Right, and Minnesota's offense didn't fall off without Adam Thielen.
Absolutely,
on it.
But it's still one of those veteran leadership kind of thing. I mean, Packers being the youngest team right now, they've got only a handful of veterans, don't they? That they're really that leaderish kind of.
And again, but they're cutting them, right? Like, if you're a leader for the Packers and your name is David Bakhtiari, you're a former Packer at this point.
And it's business. I understand it.
Yeah.
It's money. I mean, we're Minnesota's sitting pretty good.
And I'll circle back to Jordan Poyer specifically. Let's say you're a leader on a team. You're in your 30s, right? As a football player, being 30 is like being 70. You're at the tail end of your work history. But calling him you're a leader on a team that stumbled and barely made the playoffs
and didn't succeed
in the playoffs. So your leadership in those positions, it's overvalued at that point. Like, if you're leading a team to mediocrity, you're not really leading a team. You know,
right. No, I hear you.
So,
yep.
So you got to, you know, these guys are making hard decisions. So you figure out, okay, we got a backup that learned something from these veterans. And we got a draft pick. Now we're going to have to safety. You know, it becomes a thing where they're going to draft a safety now in the first. They have to. Like if you're Buffalo in the same spot where if you're a Minnesota, you need a quarterback because you don't have one on your roster.
As of right now.
If you're Buffalo, as whatever else you might need, cornerback and safety, that's what you're going to spend easy money. You're going to spend those draft pick money on that because if not, yes, then you're in a – because you got to find a leader, right? Like you got to find a leader who's also – can win you some football games. Well, so if you're Buffalo or if you're just about anybody, that's what you're – these veteran cuts are like the Broncos cut
everybody
but they cut a Russell Wilson who was your leader. He led them to the worst record that they've seen in a long time. They cut their defensive leader. He was a safety. Same thing. He was 8 years. He'd been a Pro Bowler and all pro. Well, he led their team to a 4-12 record last year. It's probably he can become a veteran leader.
You're looking at Denver being a rebuild. I mean, you really are top to bottom. I mean, that's
they're doing what Houston did because Houston wasted a lot of draft picks getting guys on their team.
That much money though.
And yes, well, that's I would love to. Like I said, on my list of things to talk about later today is the worst contracts in sports history.
Might as well do it now because we've only got 20 minutes already left.
Oh wow, we blipped right through the.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean the worst. Some of the worst.
I don't think Wilson is in. That, there's nothing worse than that one. I mean, they're on the hook for like $89 million for the next 2 years.
Football is super unique where if you have guaranteed money, your contract can become one of the worst contracts instantly. Like in basketball, it's a guaranteed contract. In football, guaranteed money is the only thing that matters on these deals, and that's what gets you cut. Because if Russell Wilson was paid $60 million but it's only $20 million guaranteed, you'd keep him, you'd figure it out, you'd draft a guy.
Yeah, but Sean Payton didn't want him. Saw that.
And which is also it's such a unique situation in Denver, right? Because you not only had Russell Wilson he's a Super Bowl winner. You should be wanting that guy on your team.
Oh, they did.
But they didn't because it's a new owner. Yep. Since then, not only do you have a new general manager and a new head coach, you have a complete new owner.
Yep.
Who he might have real strong feelings about Russell
Wilson. Well, I think when Sean Payton went to meet with them and went, he's not my guy.
Yeah.
I don't want him.
Right, that must have been. I like to picture because I remember seeing
pictures. Be a fly on the wall on that one.
I remember seeing pictures on ESPN, and they looked like a couple of guys going out to dinner. But I would imagine that you just get a real weird vibe right off the bat from the guy sitting across from you, and you're like, I don't want to work with this guy.
Right.
I don't. And you realize, well, we're gonna
all the baggage. I mean, there's a lot of things coming out from other players from the Seahawks from Denver saying, he had a nose off. Like 12 people entourage with him wherever he went, on the plane.
Which is wild to me because he's a quarterback. He doesn't need a bunch of people. You would not think.
I mean, his wife is a fairly popular artist.
She's still not a football player.
No, but a lot of those people with them were.
That would be admittedly if you're winning
a distraction.
If you're winning championships, it's a
non-issue.
It's
quirky.
But as soon as you stop winning.
Yep.
The whole luster goes away on Russell Wilson, and now Russell Wilson is finding himself in a spot where
he may not start. He has to,
And if he's not gonna start, I mean, he could sit on $60 million.
Well, he could retire now.
Correct. So a guy like that ends up in Pittsburgh, but a guy like that,
any team that brings him in or actually signs him. It's a league minimum, $1.2 million. Why not?
Which is why he has one of the worst contracts in sports history, because somebody else is paying him like $80 million for not coming to work.
Right.
How unpleasant of an experience must that be to sign a check to somebody that I guess this wasn't even my problem, but I guess I inherited this big old problem. Do you remember Brock Osweiler a few years ago? That was one of the ones that I thought was the worst contract because he got a 3-year giant contract because he played well as a backup. And then he got traded along with a second round pick.
Yep.
They wanted so badly to get that contract off the books that they gave Houston a second round pick to take the money. Man, those bad contracts in baseball, you hear bad contracts in baseball, like in Alex Rodriguez, right? Like he
But, Shohei Ohtani.
But they don't affect the team at all because there's no salary cap. Right. You could Shohei Ohtani's contract is amazing.
Yeah.
It Bobby Bonilla. There's a great one. If for anybody who wants to look,
he's still getting paid to this day.
Bobby Bonilla's agent should have a should have his own wing in the Hall of Fame, in the Financial Hall of Fame. Bobby Bonilla's agent. Bobby Bonilla was an outfielder for the Mets in the 80s, early 90s.
Yep.
He signed what at the time was a very large free agent contract, the largest free agent contract with the New York Mets. He played for 2 years. They cut him, and instead of just paying him the money, and it was only at the time it was $20 million. Instead of just paying him $20 million and letting him go away, the New York Mets brain trust, who was at the time being led by his name is Michael Wilpon, whose advisor was Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
So the New York Mets were taking financial advice from Bernie Madoff. Decided to pay Bobby Bonilla in interest payments. So they pay him $1 million a year till 2037, I want to say. Bobby Bonilla is going to be 73 years old. He's getting $1 million a year from the New York Mets. That's amazing. That's not one of the worst contracts in the NFL. That's one of the best. That's an amazing contract to be able to run.
1.2 till July 1st of 2035.
Yeah, where he will
which is July 1st has now become Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bonilla Day. Yeah, that was close.
Yeah, whatever.
That was so that the worst contracts in NFL in history of sports.
Daniel Jones?
No, he's 1 year. These have to be judged in more than last season. He got a contract extension, got hurt. That you got to give him another year, and also $35 million for a starting quarterback in the NFL isn't super out of line. Unfortunately, it isn't. You're in a world where you're paying Deshaun Watson about $50 million.
That one's on that list.
That's got to be incredible.
That one's guaranteed. The problem was that, that first year we knew that he was going to have legal issues and he wasn't going to be in, so he wasn't going to play. This past year, though,
he was the worst quarterback in the NFL.
When
he got replaced, their team did better, which tells you all you need to know.
Joe Flacco beat you up.
About that guy and his that's
but no, I think they sat him. I think they sat him because he was just, they're like, okay, this year's a wash no matter what happens.
It's 2 years.
Let's get him healthy. And just see what we got.
That's a guy going on 2 years of, hey, remember that guy?
3 years.
It'll be 3 years of not playing well since Deshaun Watson was an all pro. Yeah, that's an incredible one. I do. The worst contracts in sports are the things that get general managers fired every single time. Signing those big contracts, it's never the wrong draft pick because you can make up for those. It's always signing that big old contract. And yeah, it almost hardly ever works. You remember Albert Haynesworth? For the Washington Redskins got signed a 7-year, $100 million all guaranteed money contract, and within 2 years, he was stepping on guys' heads and getting kicked out of the league. And that was it. He made $100 million and that got a whole bunch of people fired from Washington.
This site, which is a reputable one, Michael Cabrera,
sure,
8 years, $248 million.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a.
Oh, there's a credit. Gilbert Arenas.
Gilbert Arenas got arrested on gun charges within a couple of years of getting a max contract in the NBA. And in the NBA, it affects the salary cap and they're guaranteed. There's no wiggle room on a lot of these deals.
Another basketball. A lot of it's basketball.
Yep.
Akeem Noah.
Yeah, Joakim Noah, who is he was one of my favorite college athletes. But yeah, because in basketball, there was a time in the middle 2000s where they were handing out 7-year deals to backup centers and surprise, that never panned out.
Albert Pujols.
That was another one. He's a
7-year, $240
million.
Yeah,
like I said, we could spend an entire show of an offseason talking about terrible contracts and why people don't like sports because they read things like this and they realize, that's why my season
Cutler.
Tickets. I don't mind that one because he played for the Bears. That was Smoking Jay Cutler is one of my favorite. That the angry look of Jay Cutler is worth every penny for the Bears fans out there. I really do. I enjoy every part of that. So what else? NFL. How about Brewers spring training?
Let's hit on the odd stuff, or not the odd stuff,
others.
The other stuff that doesn't matter.
The flotsam and the jetsam of the day.
Yeah.
Brewers spring training is underway. They've been winning some games, which. I know in spring training terms, doesn't really matter all that much, but it was really, really nice. Like I said, when you're watching, listening to spring training, because I have yet to see a game on TV.
Right.
But when you're listening, you're starting to hear the names now as we enter our because the first game kicks off 28th of March is the opener for the Brewers.
Right,
so,
around the corner.
Yeah, literally right around the corner. So you're starting to see pitchers ramping up a little bit. You're starting to see names that you recognize if you're a because at the beginning of spring training, unless you're a real, real big Brewers fan, you don't recognize 90% of these names because they're guys who are in second and third year of minor league contracts. They're 19-year-old international signings. That's anybody you want to bring. And now by the second and third week, you're getting to see not just the names of some of these, but where they fit in the lineup.
Right.
New signings like Rhys Hoskins, who missed all of last year, played
for the
Phillies.
Essentially, it's a little different than the NFL, but it's the same principle. You got 90 guys, figure out where they're going to be, if they're going to make the team or not. Just play.
Training camp, that's where training camp for both these are real. Spring training and training camp are real similar. They're playing more games. It's training. You get scrimmages in the NFL, but these are, you're getting to see guys and see where they're going to fit, and you're getting, they're getting more than one at bat. You're seeing, like I said, Rhys Hoskins is going to be. He's hit 30 home runs every single year he's been in the, major leagues, and finally he's the Brewers. He's going to be the home run leader for the Brewers if he stays healthy.
Right.
It's fun to watch a guy that it's like, okay, that feels like that's going to be worth, as a Brewers fan, things like that are worth a couple wins. For a team that was this close to being great last year, they were about five games away from just being great. Seeing your future power hitter, watching Joey Weimer, who is my favorite defensive. When we watched the game, we went to the game. Joey Weimer is incredibly athletic, has one of the most awkward swings I've ever seen a baseball player take, and he's not good at hitting. But he's been hitting in the spring, so that's cool to see. They've got, a lot of these first-round picks coming out and playing really, but you're seeing pitchers who, if you're a Brewers fan, the name Aaron Ashby, he's another guy, missed all of last year with Tommy John surgery or something in that vein. He's the guy who's going to be counted on to pick up a lot of innings because they're missing about 300 innings from their horses.
Oh, wow.
Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns being gone is going to make a huge difference on this Brewers team. They just ate the innings. It was every fourth, fifth day, you're getting a guy who's going to pitch six innings. They have none of those guys anymore.
Oops.
Well, when you are a team that operates...
But they picked up hitting.
They did.
I remember right.
You did remember right. Yeah, man. They picked up enough hitting to
offset it.
I mean, if you're making trades, that's what you're hoping, right? Like, it's going to be an offset. We're going to trade pitching for hitting, so you better hope this hitting is pretty good or at least consistent, because the Brewers, the only thing consistent about the Brewers hitting the last few years is how terrible it's been. We've talked now for 2 years about they're hitting 212. Here's their best hitter hitting 230 again. That is hard to watch as a fan. Like, it at the end of the season, it pays the results of them making the playoffs. But I haven't seen a Brewers positional player make the All-Star game in 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a super, super long time. That would be really good to see. Not that they have anybody like that. But if not, you got to have a guy like I said, Aaron Ashby or whomever you're picking up has to be in these next couple weeks. Going to be the guy who pitches 150 innings. Well, hopefully they're good because they've got some depth in the minor leagues that you're seeing still. That's going to be making some innings. But as we get into next week, we're going to do more Brewers, more detailed of what that roster is going to look like, because they start paring down, start getting into the 40-man roster spot. Okay. Also, did you see who won yesterday?
Who?
Last night?
No.
Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh.
They won a basketball game.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they beat Rutgers. Rutgers has been average at best
year. They have to win, every game, didn't they?
They were sitting at 18-11 and, seventh place in the Big Ten. To ensure a spot, 2 weeks, they have to win a couple more games. They had to have won about two more games earlier in the year, because these next three games are against Rutgers, which they won. But then they've got Purdue and Illinois, who are the best two teams in the Big Ten.
Oh, good.
So they're sitting at 19-11. They're on the bubble. Like, if there's 68 teams that make the NCAA tournament, and that selection show is a couple Sundays from now. The Badgers were at sixth in the country. They were at the 2 seed. They were guaranteed. That was the sleeper pick to win a. Since then, they've lost 9 of 11 games, which is a big terrible. How else a team that is supposed to be good just keeps losing games? They've lost to the teams they shouldn't lose to. There was a fire alarm that went off at a game, then they lost. They lost to Nebraska. They've managed to really to bottom Michigan. Michigan was under 500, lost 4 players to the NBA last year, and was barren of talent. They have no talent, and they lost to them. You could fire their coach. I'd be fine with that. My entire lifetime of what feels like the same Badger coaching staff. Sure. So, I mean, I'm kind of numb to the thought of, ooh, a change. But because the players on the team, they recruit where it takes 4 full years for the team to be great. So last year's team was mediocre, finished the season well. This year's team is a little better. So you got to – next year's their squad, right? Like, there's sophomores and juniors this year who are okay. Next year, there's juniors and seniors. So they should be better.
Sure.
Because the Badgers will never recruit a 5-star guy.
Right.
The Badgers will never – get a transfer who's going to be a number 1 overall pick. They're not going to find a Johnny Davis. There's, you know, they're running out of local, you know, Wisconsin talent that wants to come to Wisconsin.
Especially with the NIL money.
And that's the thing, is somebody's just going to have to go deep pockets and say, well, I'm a Wisconsin Badger alum and I've got $1 billion. Let's go win ourselves a championship, because that's how Texas is doing it. That's how Ohio State is doing it. That's how every team,
a lot of major teams, are doing
USC
it.
USC is doing it. That's how
basketball or football.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the NIL money has been more prevalent in football, but because in basketball there's a lot more one and done anyway. There's so many options for where to get a secondary education in playing basketball that you don't need to go to college. But the Badgers won, and Stephen Crowell was fantastic.
Yeah.
He was the best big on the court, which about every 3-4 games. Minnesota's own Stephen Crowell becomes the best big on the court. He's a 7-footer who can shoot. He's not real athletic, but he's a 7-footer who can shoot. So
there you go.
AJ Storr was really good and athletic, had a 19, had 3 threes. And their best player, who needs to be, by the way, we're running short. I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, just a little bit. You're all right.
John Blackwell is a freshman guard for the Badgers. John Blackwell has taken the role of 6-man away from Connor Asijan, who last year was the freshman of the year in the Big Ten, scoring 10 points a game, can shoot the 3 really, really well. John Blackwell is the best. He should be a starter. He's the best defender on that team. He is the most athletic. He's 6'4". He had 17 and 8. He had 8 rebounds as a 6'4 guy. He's hitting threes, making steals. He plays with, if you, like, oh, I don't know who's in Minnesota got that's a scrapper, you know? He plays that guy. He's a glue guy. He reminds me of an old-school Wisconsin Badgers player, like a guy who just gets down, plays defense for the entire game, passes, screens. He's yelling at other players. He's yelling at his teammates. He's, you know, slapping the floor. And I don't know why he doesn't start. Honestly, for a team that could use energy.
Maybe nobody likes him.
I mean, he's a freshman who just started out. He's got to be
a freshman.
Well, either
nobody likes a freshman.
And that's a big problem. Right? If your coach isn't playing him because of that, but man, he's the guy who makes a difference on a team that has been missing some energy and some juice. And anybody who's watched Badger basketball this year, you've seen Chucky Hepburn's a pretty darn good point guard, a really good defender. Max Klesmit is a shooter, but he's very unathletic. He looks like a Wisconsin guy. He's from Wisconsin. He's from Neenah, Wisconsin. He transferred here. Like, he's a guy who shoots but doesn't do much else. Tyler Wall, same thing. He's a 6th-year guy who looks like a Wisconsin Badger forward for anybody who has been watching the Badgers long enough. And same thing, Stephen Crowell. He looks like a Wisconsin Badgers big man. But guys like AJ Storr, who are real athletes, they don't have enough of them.
Yeah.
So I'm looking this year. By the time we hit next week, they will have, I'm pretty sure, wrapped up their season. And we'll be starting the Big Ten tournament, which they need to win a game. So if anybody out there
can... the tournament, you're got an automatic bid,
auto bid. But if you can win a couple games in these tournaments, the selection committee, which is a big group of people sitting around a table, it looks good. Because for a team that lost huge swatches of games, they need to finish well or else there's another mid-major. Some other team deserves to get in over the Badgers. And if that's the case, by the way, we can fire the coach. It's fine because everybody's going to transfer out anyway at the end of this. We got about what?
You got 4 minutes. So do you want to talk about the Bucks at all? Is there anything on there? I mean, they're still – they're doing better?
Yeah. Well, that that was – we were going to talk right up until last night. I wanted to talk about how good the Bucks have been doing lately because last week we did talk about how they they've been good. Like since the All-Star break, they've been the best defensive team. They haven't been playing great teams, but
they're second right now, and they've got a ways before they hit the Celtics because it's 48 and 14, and Bucks are 41-22.
Okay,
so Cavaliers are 48-22, so they're right there. So,
and that's the team to catch. It's not about catching Boston. Boston is the best team.
Yep.
But they then being shorthanded, the Bucks without Giannis, without Chris Middleton, they beat the Clippers, and the Clippers are playing at full strength, have all stars, have three guys playing at high level. They're one of the better teams in the league.
Sure.
Then they turned around on Wednesday and lost by 35 points to the Golden State Warriors, who are basically running a "Hey, remember us" tour.
Yeah, right.
With Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and a old Klay Thompson. They lost by 35. So I don't know. I don't know what's happening with the Bucks other than that's the team. That's going to be the team for the rest of the year. In a 7-game series, they're going to lose 2 games. I don't know who they're going to lose to, but they're going to lose 2 games in the first round of the playoffs. They're going to struggle in every round of the playoffs. Every game is going to kind of feel like these games. Like I said, they beat one of the best teams in the league shorthanded on Monday, turned around 2 days later, and got just stomped on. Yeah. It wasn't close for the entire game against the Warriors. And tonight, they're playing the Lakers at the Lakers. And it is. And anytime you get a chance to play in L.A., it's a big game. Anytime you get a chance to play against LeBron James is his name. You might have heard of him. He's the guy from Space Jam.
Yeah.
That's a big game. Anytime you get a chance to play on ESPN late, it's a big game. So, yeah, for me, they go back-to-back games. They go Friday against the Lakers and then Saturday, Sunday against the Clippers, 2 games in L.A., you're getting to this spot, and we are at 63 games out of an 82-game season. So we're at
you're getting there.
Down the stretch they come, as it is. You're at the end of the line for making excuses. You're at the end. There's nobody to pick up.
Either you are or you're not.
Yes, the changes you've made to the team roster-wise, or how this is your team. So it. And I said, as a Bucks fan, and I really am. There's no other team in the NBA. That I want to watch or root for.
Sure.
The NBA is my least favorite of all the pro sport leagues. If this is the Bucks team that you're kind of committed to rooting for, it's a team that can score 140, but they can also give up 141 nearly every single game. It's no matter who they're playing, no lead is safe. I was listening on the radio. I listened. Listened to a 20-point swing. They scored 10 in a row, gave up 12 in a row. That's your Bucks for the rest of the year. So that's
okay.
That's the deal on that. Next week we're going to talk about.
You talking about my Timberwolves at all?
Well, we can because they had two things happen to them in the last chunk of time. Karl-Anthony Towns, who's one of my favorite big men to watch, one of the best shooters in the league, and he's 7 feet tall. He tore his meniscus in practice.
Yep.
Yesterday, 2 days ago. Makes he's a huge dent.
Yeah, he's out indefinitely right until they get the
he's their most. He's the most interesting offensive player on that team. He's not their best player. That goes to Anthony Edwards, who last night...
Well, they won.
...won the game with an Anthony Edwards block. If anybody gets a chance to look at highlights or watches ESPN or any kind of sports stuff, he blocked the ball to win the game and then hit his head on the rim. Incredible athlete. Yeah, man, that was our best show that we've done probably since last week.
Yeah, maybe, at least.
You know, we weren't well prepared, but we're in good spirits, so that really counts. I want to thank WDRT for letting us do this and everyone for listening. I want everybody to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. See ya.